We need to find out, obviously, David, from the likes of the DUP and others, what their position is. But Sinn Féin are going to dip in, you would presume, to this extra fund that we have in Northern Ireland.
In order
to compensate. That's the only way they could do this, if they're going to offset changes in welfare reform. You would oppose that. We need to find out what the DUP's position is in this.
Well, I hope the DUP's position is sensible. Certainly, Conor Murphy, what he's saying there, you know, we're going to guarantee. I heard Máirseann Mulliar saying the same thing yesterday in Stormont. There's no guarantees whatsoever. If this changes, then it directly affects this fund. Most of us don't even think that this fund is going to be sizable enough to do what Sinn Féin want with it.
Well, Sinn Féin have made a cast-iron guarantee.
Well, I don't think they may have. They've maybe done it on the media. They've maybe said it to the people. There's no way that they've negotiated a cast-iron guarantee with anybody, because you couldn't do it.
Well, they've promised their electorate.
If this stuff isn't... Well, it sounds good to the electorate, but let's be honest with the electorate. If this cap is reduced after May... Then we're back to the drawing board with Sinn Féin if they're going to say, you know, we're adopting the same stance. I think we've got the budget bill going to be debated, the legislation coming forward within the next 2 weeks at Stormont. There's got to be a lot of questions. The DUP and Sinn Féin and the Tories have done a deal on it, but the questions are still going to be pertinent. They're still going to be out there. I don't think that this fund that they're setting up is in any way going to be able to cope with the demands that Sinn Féin want to put on it.
But you're right. So when this goes on the floor of the Assembly, you know, we can already predict what's going to happen. You've got Sinn Féin presumably are going to say, no, benefit cap, we can't have anybody suffering from a benefit cap in Northern Ireland. No, we need to dip into the fund for that. Any other welfare changes that affects any resident in Northern Ireland, we need to dip into the fund for that. How's this bill going to get off the ground?
Well, the bill will get off the ground because of what it's built on, and it's built on a deal between the Tory Sinn Féin and the DUP, and the DUP can say, oh yes, we're going to stick with that. You're right in what's happening. If Cameron reduces this, then we're back to another debate, because that fund will not be able to deal with the demands that Sinn Féin are going to put on it. This cast-iron guarantee. In other words, it wouldn't even matter if the cap come down or up. They put their cast-iron guarantee on as it is today.
Well, we have asked Sinn Féin for a response to this today. We've been speaking to them before the programme started this morning. They're trying to get us now a statement on this, or a representative on this to speak to us. So that's hopefully happening today.
The DUP,
Sammy Wilson, was supposed to be on the programme 9:05 this morning. He's gone AWOL on this. So we need to find out from Sammy Wilson, who was due to come on, due to state the DUP's position. What on earth is going on here?
Well, UKIP are very clear. I've given you our position. Our position stands firm in that, you know, you can't have people sitting at home earning more in respect than people out working.
Well, you can if you follow the theory that those people on benefits are not on benefits because they want to be, they're on benefits because they have no alternative, and it's for society and the state to support them. David, what if, for example, there's a family with six or seven children?
I agree with that.
But if a family with six or seven children, would you cap them?
No.
Well, you would.
No, what I'm saying is that I agree that there will be genuine reasons why people are able to attain these benefits. What we're talking about is the people who swing the lead, as we would call it.
No, you're not. You support a cap, because the cap is universal. It affects every family, and UKIP would support a reduction in the cap to 23,000. Okay.
Very firm on it.
Okay, David McNally, thank you. Let's get your reaction to that today. 08459 555 678. So quite a lot in there then. This benefit cap, let's turn to that now. 23,000 is what the Prime Minister David Cameron wants to reduce it to. It's currently 26 across the water. Sinn Féin, before Christmas, have said in terms of any welfare reform change in Northern Ireland, they won't allow anybody to suffer in Northern Ireland because of it. They will offset it. We're going to get the DUP's position and others' positions today, and of course we want to hear from you. 08459 555 678. Connor's in Belfast. Morning, Connor.
Evening, how are you?
Good morning to you. So we're moving on now. Your second debate of the day. Benefits cap. Prime Minister wants to reduce it to 23,000. Sammy Wilson hasn't turned up this morning to tell us the DUP's position. Sinn Féin are giving us a statement. UKIP's position. They support the cap now being reduced further from 26 to 23,000.
Well, I think, Stephen, first of all, I want to say I think it's very disappointing that yet again the show, it must be a slow news day or whatever, but every time the show wants to do an issue around benefits, it just has a one-sided argument. The bottom line is, all you're doing is bashing people who are on benefits. I'm not on benefits, but see, people who are on benefits deserve the benefits that they get. What the real issue is here that people should be concentrating on is, I'm on the Department of Work and Pensions website. It says last year that £1 billion was spent on fraud within the benefits system, but however, £70 billion was lost through tax evasion and tax avoidance. So why don't you do a show on those who benefit through tax avoidance and tax evasion, which runs into billions, compared to those who are apparently allegedly claiming fraudulent claims within the benefit structure?
So for those people who are working, in order to get the £23,000, Conor, right?
Uh-huh.
The 23 grand that David Cameron wants to reduce it to, you would still need to be earning £29,000 a year to be getting that net. In other words, you'd need to earn 29 grand a year. By the time you pay your taxes and your NIC, your national insurance contributions, that would come down to £23,000 a year. Do you not think it's fair comment for some of those that are on 15, 16, 17, 18 grand a year thinking, hold on a minute, I'm doing an 8-hour day here, and people on benefits don't think 26 grand is enough?
No.
You know, Sinn Féin will presumably offset anyone who's reduced to 23 grand. We need to clarify this, but if their position is still as it was at Christmas, they're not going to let anybody suffer because of welfare reform.
Stephen, first of all, do you realise how many people, I don't have the exact figures, but what the Department Works and Pensions says 0.1%. The amount of people and families who are on the actual £26,000. The vast majority of people who are on benefits are actually in work.
There are 470 families in Northern Ireland getting more than £26,000 a year in benefits.
And that is minute compared to the
470 amount. Families.
Yeah, it is. And look at how many people within the benefit structure who are actually working. The working poor who are not being paid a decent living wage, who are not being paid a better hourly rate. Deal with that, then the economy will grow and we're much better off. As I say, the
470 families on £26,000 a year or more, that's at least 12.2 million.
And has anybody assessed those families? Those families obviously need that. Those families obviously need that depending on their circumstances.
Yeah, but
know what them circumstances are.
But Connor, I don't, and I'm not bashing them, but here's what I do know. I do know that for those families who are out working, who are on minimum wage, who obviously need more, who can't get it.
Yeah, then deal with their employers who won't give them more. Tell the employers to introduce the living wage. Give the incentive to people to work to actually be paid better from their employers while they're in work. Not a race to the bottom. That's what you're promoting, that everybody in work should be paid lower and everybody in benefits should be kept. It's a race to the bottom.
Here's what the Secretary of State has said, Teresa Villiers, right? Secretary of State has said, we will ensure through the benefit cap that no one can bring home more in benefits than a typical family earns by going out to work. That cap is set at £26,000. This is the current situation, right? And she went on. She said, to take that home in wages, a working family would have to earn an income before tax of £35,000. Well in excess, she said. This is the key point, Connor.
Yeah.
Well in excess of the £20,000 average private sector pay here in Northern Ireland.
Stephen, see if you want to go and talk to somebody about the true impact on benefits, the true reform that may be needed within the benefit structure, go and speak to the chief executives of the Citizens Advice Bureaus and those people out there that deal with it. Please don't quote Teresa Villiers and her Tory cabinet. They wouldn't know a day's work if it slapped them in the face. They have no idea what goes on in the real world and how real people are living. They haven't a clue about how we're living. Teresa Villiers couldn't give a damn about here or about anybody in benefits. The bottom line
obviously
is,
the Secretary of State would dispute that.
I don't care what the Secretary says. Dispute.
Have a listen, Connor. Have a listen to the commentator, David Vance.
David Vance, what the meal, Kitty Hopkins? He knows everything.
Go on, David.
Thank you very much for that introduction. There's an important principle in play here, and it's this, that no one should reasonably expect to be in receipt of more money by not working than those who are in employment earn. It's fundamental. It's a fundamental rule of fairness. And of course, the 26,000 cap doesn't apply here in utopian Northern Ireland in the first instance. And as you've already indicated, Stephen, with our wonderful executive parties at loggerheads, I doubt the 23,000 will apply. So what we have is we have institutionalized here in Northern Ireland the right of some people to earn more, they don't earn it, to receive more money by not working than those who get out of their beds and go to work. Now, that's just plain wrong. And something needs to be done about it. So I would welcome the 23,000, but I would actually like to see it reduced a bit more, because again, as Theresa Villiers said, 23 grand in terms of benefits is the equivalent of about a 30,000, just over 30,000 in terms of the wage. How many people out there today here in Northern Ireland are having to get out of their beds and all kinds of weather, go out and work and earn much less than that?
Go on, Connor.
Others sit at home and rake in the benefits.
Go on, Connor.
David, you're looking at the opposite end of it. Why don't you turn around and say, well, look at the people who are getting out of the bed and going to work. They should be paid the living wage. They should be paid a better hourly rate. Then that way the people who are working might be better off in work than on benefits. So you don't want to concentrate the fact that the people who are working should be paid more. The private sector should be the employees in the private sector should be paid more. Employees in the public sector should be paid more. Better hourly rate. It would grow the economy. Then that way the people on benefits wouldn't get more than those who are in work. Instead of addressing the real problem, people who are in work, Connor, and the vast majority of people who are on benefits are the working poor.
Well, first of all, Connor, where do you think the money comes from? Magic money trees, do you think, perhaps? Where are we going to conjure up all this extra money, which you believe is going to grow the economy?
I'm only off a website of the Department Works and Pension that said that $70 billion has been lost through tax avoidance. You don't want to have a conversation about tax avoidance at all.
Very happy, but that's not the topic we're discussing.
Why don't you talk about it? There's $70 billion in tax avoidance, and you want to concentrate on 400 families in Northern Ireland who are on benefits.
And that's a very nice little diversion.
What we need to also establish, and it's important, let me pick up on that in 1 second, David. Of course, it's 470 families, Connor, on £26,000 a year. If Cameron Dawes, as he's pledging to do after the next election, if he wins it, if he does reduce it, if he does win and reduces it to £23,000, that'll mean a lot more families will then come into that catchment, won't it?
Correct, and that's going to be the financial challenge for the executive, who are in denial over the 26,000. So they're going to be in even bigger denial over the 23,000.
So how big is this fund in Northern Ireland that we keep hearing about that will offset those, according to Sinn Féin, who suffer because of it? It's going to have to be a big fund if the 23,000 is then kicked in, if Cameron wins, and we need parity. And if we're going to offset that, how much is that going to cost Northern Ireland? Is it affordable?
But there's a more fundamental point in that, Stephen. You know, the size of the fund, you can argue about with all the political parties. But the principle of having a welfare cap in the first instance, which prevails in England, doesn't prevail here in Northern Ireland. And one of the reasons why the Northern Irish economy continues to stay in the doldrums is because it doesn't incentivize people to get out and seek work. That's the harsh truth.
That's why
England does better. There's employment in Northern Ireland. There's jobs in Northern Ireland, Connor. There's people who come from other parts of the EU and can find it very easily.
Well, let's give Connor a chance. Go on, Connor.
David Vance is telling everybody to get out and find work. What work? And the vast majority of work jobs that are out there are probably zero-hour contracts, are probably extremely low-paid jobs. After all, InvestNI constantly promotes Northern Ireland as a low-wage economy. So major employers can come over and brass plate, and it's going to go worse, especially when nobody's talking about it. I mentioned it here this morning. David Vance was about the TTIP agreement that will be coming in soon, as well as the lowering in the corporation tax. It's just going to make the problem worse.
This is interesting. Sorry to interrupt. I'm not sorry to interrupt, actually.
Thanks,
here's a a statement that's just come to the Nolan Show from the Department for Social Development. This is actually really interesting, this. Let's read it together. It says, the statement by the Prime Minister, David Cameron, is not government policy, and therefore the department will not be commenting on what is speculation around the issue of reducing the benefit cap. What do you mean speculation? It's coming from the Prime Minister, for goodness sake.
Hold on.
It says, this statement has been made as part of the Conservative Party 2015 manifesto. That's correct. But DSD are saying they can't comment on it. Oh, for goodness sake. And then it goes on and it says, Stormont House Agreement, and this is the really interesting part for us here in Northern Ireland, and this is what's going to be played out now over the coming weeks and months. We're back to welfare reform and the arguments and whether these parties can agree, right? And this is where we're heading to. Let me read this. Listen to this, Connor. The Stormont House Agreement and protection for people with regard to benefit reduction. They say the Welfare Reform Bill 2012 will now be brought to the Northern Ireland Assembly for consideration stage, which the department understands will take place within the next 2 weeks. Details of the agreement on welfare reform reached by the five political parties during discussions in Stormont Castle and which later formed the basis for the Stormont House Agreement will be available at this time. Now, why is that? Why are those statements really, really interesting? Because what they're saying is that the agreement on welfare reform reached by the five political parties during the discussions in Stormont Castle, what is that agreement? For example, does the DUP agree with Sinn Féin that anybody that suffers any change in welfare reform whatsoever, that not one person in Northern Ireland will suffer? I very much doubt the DUP have agreed on that from what I've heard from the DUP. Let's find out. And the pertinent question today is, will the DUP support David Cameron's position of a further reduction in the benefit cut? We need to hear from the biggest party in Northern Ireland, the DUP. And we need to hear Sinn Féin's position on it, Conor.
Well, of course the DUP will agree to make sure that they attack the most vulnerable and make sure that they cut benefits as much as possible. They share the same ideology of the Tories. I mean, as if people on benefits are the enemy and they're causing everybody all this heartache. I mean,
can I just respond to that, actually, Stephen? Because, in fact, Connor's completely wrong, because the DUP has not implemented the 26,000 cap. So why does anyone think... Connor, I let you finish. Let me actually finish the sentence. The DUP have not gone along with the conservative ideology on the need to restrain welfare to encourage people to go to work. They haven't. So, you know, whilst they can argue and sort of ding-dong it back between themselves and Sinn Féin, all our political Northern parties here in Northern Ireland lack the guts to face into the core issue, which is that it should never be easier to stay at home and enjoy benefits than go out to work.
Here's Jim in Belfast. Morning, Jim.
That's what we got.
Go on, Jim.
Morning, listen to the programme. I find it very, very interesting. But the question that I was going to ask has been answered already regarding the weekly wage type. In England, their average wage is higher than what it is in Northern Ireland. Now, another point, it's all right, but if you're... There's today, it's snowing, and if a person has to go out to work, well and good for working, but anybody that doesn't can look out the window and say, put the duvet over me again, I'm not getting up.
It's such a sweeping, condescending statement, Jim, towards people on benefits. Has it actually struck you that people on benefits would love to go out to work? That some people on benefits would like to have the ability to go out to work, in other words, the physical ability to go out to work? Maybe they're disabled and cannot go out to work.
Well, then stop making your sweeping statements.
What about women who have to get up early in the morning, who are single parents, who have a few children? They have to go out to work for minimum wage, the vast majority of their wage going on.
And what about those people, Jim, who want to find a job and can't?
And what about the tens of thousands who come here from outside of Northern Ireland and can't find a job? I'm sorry, there's an elephant in the room here and you don't want to talk about it. The fact is, we can't label all those who are unemployed, and we can't label them all in the one category.
Peter's in Belfast next.
There are
next.
Some who are.
Morning, Peter.
And just listen to David. I'd like to ask David, if he runs a company and if all of a sudden there was lost £100 a week, would he keep going just for the pride of being working? You know, people pick up on the people on the benefits and they treat them like lepers. You know what I mean? I just think I spend near $20,000 a year being a taxi driver and I struggle. And I can understand people not going out to work because it couldn't pay them. Why would you be £100 but worse off just to be saying you're working?
But that's the problem.
Does David think you've won the lottery because you're on the benefits? Does he think you're in the DLA, you have cancer, you have all kinds of illnesses, you're just doing it to be on benefits?
So why do you think, Ben, it's right that those who are unemployed should receive more than those who are employed? You must prefer.
You've got kids. You've got your housing benefits. You have child care. What are you going to do? Are you going to go out and get a job and pay you £100 less just to be a privy to say I'm not being on the benefit? Do you ever go into the benefit office? They don't ask you. You beg for money.
Well, no, you're degraded.
They couldn't do anything else but degrade you. The best news I've heard in ages is a 20,000 is going to have to look over the counter and ask for benefits next year.
So what do you think of the reduction proposed by the Tories to 23,000 of a benefit cap? Do you think that the parties in Northern Ireland should offset that, or do you agree with UKIP?
Yes.
UKIP support it, and UKIP support it being reduced to 23 grand, Peter.
Can't do it. Stephen, this place is filled with depression and all kinds of illnesses. Did you ever see anybody unemployed running about dancing and singing songs and up the street?
Stephen, they've got all data. You have the Telefax as well. People who are unemployed don't get 23,000 or 26,000 just because they're unemployed. There's additional circumstances on top of that, including severe disablement allowance and disability.
You're pointing out there, if you're on
26,000, if you're unemployed, you automatically get £26,000 a year. No, you don't.
Get up to that. On the 26,000 is a net figure, which equates to about over 30,000 in terms of salary. So what you're saying is it's okay for those who don't work.
It's a 35,000 pounds.
And I'm saying, that's iniquitous, morally wrong, and Cameron's absolutely right to stop it.
So if somebody's unemployed, just answer me, David. Say if somebody's unemployed, they find themselves unemployed tomorrow, do they automatically get £26,000?
Of course they don't. Of course they don't. So what this discussion's about, you understand this, Conor. You're a smart guy.
You certainly sound smarter
than I am, right? So what this discussion is about is about a cap. So it's about the maximum amount that any family in any household in the UK, in Cameron's case in England, can actually have brought into their home. And he is saying there should be a cap on it. It's currently 26,000, and he has pledged, if he wins the next general election, to reduce it to 23,000. Here's the TUV leader, Jim Allister, on this. Would you support Cameron's position on this, Jim? We can't find out now or establish what the DUP's position is. What's the TUV's position, Jim?
Yes, I think that we have to follow the national lead on this, because otherwise we're going to put an albatross around our neck. Because what they've agreed in the Stormhouse Agreement is that out of our money for education and health, our block grant money, we're going to top up benefits those who would otherwise be capped if they lived in the rest of the United Kingdom. And that means 6,000 families who presently receive more than £26,000.
No, 470 families currently receive more than 26,000.
All right. An Assembly answer last week to me from the Social Development Minister says there are 6,000 families receiving in excess of £26,000.
Well, we got the 470 figure from the DSD website.
Well, I can refer you to the Pacific Assembly answer. It's in the record, 6,600 families. And more than that, it will be 12,000 families if the cap falls to 23,000.
It will be how many?
12,000 families.
Well, that's really interesting. That's really interesting.
In excess of 23,000 pounds. Now, why should Northern Ireland, who spends more than it raises, put itself in a position where we're going to diminish the vital money for health and education by continuing to top up benefits above the national level? And this is something we're going to do, it seems, in perpetuity. So it's in year on year on year. And it's going to run into billions of pounds, which is a disincentive to working. If we sustain these benefits at a level which they aren't being sustained anywhere else in the United Kingdom, then it is a disincentive to work in Northern Ireland.
have.
So we need to find out then, because there's this, you know, obviously even within the DSD statement that's been sent to us today, they're reminding us of the agreement that there has been at the Assembly over welfare reform. I wonder, Jim, if there's actually agreement over this. Is there agreement that if the welfare cap is indeed reduced by Cameron, what will happen in Northern Ireland? Well, there couldn't be agreement because it hasn't happened yet. So what are the parties' positions on it? What is the TV's position? Just to be clear, Jim.
My position is very clear, that I believe on benefits we need to follow the national and if the cap comes in across the rest of the United Kingdom, then it has to apply here, because the consequence of not applying it here is less money for schools, less money for health, because Westminster aren't giving us the extra money to sustain the benefits. It's coming out of the block grant, and that means less money for the essential.
And Sinn Féin's guarantee to the public, said in this programme before December, in December of last year, was that no individual citizen in Northern Ireland will be worse off as a result of welfare reform, that they will guarantee that.
But who believes Sinn
Féin? Hold on, Jim Allister.
Well, of course, no surprise to me that Sinn Féin be very happy to bankrupt Northern Ireland. It fulfilled the mantra as they perceive it as a failed political entity. So you needn't look for prudence, you needn't look for common sense, you needn't look for an objective way forward from Sinn Féin, because their agenda is to bring down Northern Ireland, not to make it succeed. And if you continue to apply a greater and stronger albatross financially around the neck of Northern Ireland, then you will bring it down.
What's your question to the DUP this morning, Jim?
Oh, I think the DSD minister who's going to bring the welfare bill back, and he's bringing it to consideration stage, and presumably he's moving amendments in accordance with whatever it is they've agreed with Sinn Féin. And my question will be, how is he going to sustain benefits at a level beyond the rest of the UK level and not damage health and education? He isn't going to be able to do it because the money's coming out of the block grant.
Connor, how would you respond to that? Connor's gone. Jim, I just want to read you what we've seen here from the DSD website. It says the total number of households estimated to have payment in excess of the benefit cap, in other words, 26,000, was 13,414. However, they say, the vast majority of these households will be exempt from the impact of the benefit cap as a result of being in receipt of certain benefits and tax cuts. When all the exclusions were removed from the analysis, approximately 470 households were estimated to be affected by the benefit cap in Northern Ireland.
Well, Stephen, I will send you the Assembly question and answer, which gives the figures that I quoted to you of 6,600.
Okay. Jim Allister, thank you very much. So a very simple question there from the TUV leader this morning to the DUP and Sinn Féin. How are you going to afford this? How are you going to afford the benefit cap not happening in Northern Ireland if indeed that's the policy you're going to support? So big questions for the political parties this morning.